Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Lest I forget it, and oft times I do, the telephone number that gets you through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your dialogue and discussion, answer your questions relative to the subject matter today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Love to have your dialogue and discussion. The question is today, vax or no vax? The vaccination is rapidly spreading across America, the COVID vaccination. Do you want to take it? Should you take it? Are you going to take it? Why are you? Why aren't you? So it's vax or no vax. What would your answer be? How would you respond to that? Do you believe that the vaccination should be required? Should it be forced? Should we do so to have a COVID pass? Who's responsible for the deaths, dying, the maligning, and so forth of the human genome system that will take place with the vaccination? Who's the major one that benefits the most from the COVID vaccinations? It's the World Health Organization, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Center for Disease Control. Just who benefits from the forced vaccinations that's coming? We'll talk about all of those things today on this broadcast, and I pray that you already have decided what you need to do and what you feel God would have you to do, because as we understand the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, it's very clear in Colossians 2:8, and it's a favorite of mine. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand where we're going and what we're doing that should make us recognize the need to be prayed up and understand what the Word of God says, be obedient to the Scripture, be obedient to what would be right for the believer in the society in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. That is, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. John 8:31 and 32, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus says dogmatically in John 14:6, "I am truth." He continues in John 17:17 by making the statement, "Thy word is truth." So I commend to you the truth book, the Word of God, the Bible. It is the book that has the answers. It is the book that gives us hope. It is the Word of God that gives us through that faith that we might have hope and faith and trust in Him and not in self. I believe what we're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, is a major push to place faith and trust and hope in man and not in the Master, and that is the Lord Jesus. But truth is the key to it, ladies and gentlemen. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's exactly what we see taking place in today's world. But it is Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that reminds us what we ought to do as Christians. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. So I commend that to you, that we take a stand for truth and do not bow, do not bend. And as you understand and recall our discussing it on several issues, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found in Daniel the third chapter, they didn't bow, they didn't bend. And as a result of that, when they were thrown in the furnace, they didn't burn. So therefore, I commend to you that philosophy and that approach is just simply staying in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of brands like Honda and Echo for the homeowner. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a full knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional and homeowner lawn care material and equipment. So Tools for Time is the answer to the questions about your lawn care solutions. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road, 11291 Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole, Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief monologue, we're going to introduce our special guest today. We're going to talk about the vax or no vax. What's in the vaccination? What should we do? How should we respond? But ladies and gentlemen, I watched Hannity last evening. I do occasionally. And in watching Hannity, let me just do a little precursor to the broadcast today on the vax or no vax question. Should we be vaccinated? Why not? What's in the vaccination? How it's going to affect our physicality? What does it do? Will it really prevent COVID? Will it prevent us from going through the masquerade and continue the lockdown? But last evening on the Hannity program on Fox Television, Hannity said, and I quote, "I'm confused. I've considered getting the COVID vaccination, but I have friends that tell me I should not. Yet I have other friends that are advising me to take the vaccination," end quote. Quote, "I just don't know," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I simply make a statement, join the confusion. Because there's much confusion in America today, and I believe, really, we've been lied to, and I've talked about that on this broadcast before, so I'm simply going to give a little overview of the lies that we've been told by the World Health Organization, CDC, and by Emperor Fauci and the others in the white jackets that caused trembling, fear, and hysteria across America as to the COVID Wuhan, China virus, and yet it seems as though the fear factor is still full at work and the Biden administration, and in the Beltway of Washington. We've been lied to so much over the past year, ladies and gentlemen, it's difficult for anyone to know for sure exactly what to do. I want to just review very briefly and very quickly some of these things we've been lied to about, and then our guest is going to help us walk through some of these things and talk about them as to what we should do and what is on the horizon for America and the vaccination program. But number one, we've been lied to, and we were told back over a year ago, in fact, it's been about a little over a year this month, when we were told that 2.2 million people are going to die lest we lock down all of America. We were lied to. Ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to when we were told that we just shut down for 15 days, then everything would be all right, we'd flatten the curve, and we could go back to work as normal, go back to life as usual. We were lied to when we were told to shut down for 15 days. Ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to when we were told that masks could stop the spread of the Wuhan, China virus. We were lied to, ladies and gentlemen. We were lied to when we were told that the cases of COVID would be increasing majorly every day, when in fact we were lied to. There were false positives that were being given to make it look as though somehow, some way, there were major, major numbers in relationship to the virus. We were lied to, ladies and gentlemen. We were told that the COVID vaccine would allow us to go back to normal and not have to wear a mask. Now we're being told that not only do you have to have one vaccine, but two and perhaps three vaccines. And even with that, Emperor Fauci in the white jacket with CDC and the World Health Organization, which, by the way, the World Health Organization is a puppet tool for the nation of China. But all three of those organizations and those that are involved therewith, we're being told that now, even with the vaccination, we need to continue to wear masks. And the latest is we need to double the mask, put on two masks, and take the vaccine. And still, the shutdowns and the closures of our churches and the shutdowns of our businesses across America, we're told that schools can't open unless we have the vaccines. And yet there's no evidence, no scientific evidence out of CDC or otherwise, that kids in school are the spreaders, or that they are easily contagion, an easy contagion for them. That's not so at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been lied to over and over and over for the past year. So I can understand Hannity's confusion. I can understand those that will advise him to get a vaccination, others will say not to. But the question is, what should we do as Americans today? Our churches, multitudes of them, are still shut down. It is a national problem today. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, nation threatened by confusion over coronavirus vaccinations. Dateline Huntsville, Alabama. In Interstate 95, a neon billboard used by the Alabama Department of Public Health advises motorists to get their flu shot, their pneumonia vaccinations, and their COVID vaccinations. But the vaccination that will quell COVID-19, a virus that has killed 400,000 nationwide, crippled businesses, promoted governments to force onerous restrictions on the public, gets no mention at all. And I could go on and on. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, the COVID-19, which we'll talk about further, and I've talked about it before, originated in the Wuhan, China laboratory. It was bought and paid for by, for the most part, by U.S. dollars, at least $3.7 million. Experimentation on splitting pathogens and adding two pathogens to see if they could develop one that would be airborne was started in America in the laboratories in North Carolina. And then when in 2014, when the Obama administration said it was too dangerous, it was shut down. But under the CDC and the leadership of Anthony Fauci, Emperor Fauci, it was transferred to the Wuhan, China lab, and there it was developed fully. Whether it was released purposely or was released ineptly, only God knows. But nevertheless, we have that problem today. And as a result of that, we've been lied to, been deceived, and in every on every turn, we've not been given the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that today. We have Ken Timmerman with us. It's going to be discussing these issues. Ken, the nation's bestseller on the book that he authored, The Election Heist. Ken has been keeping up with this closely, and Ken's got some of the answers that I believe that we need to hear today. Ken, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Delighted to have you with us today, and thank you for taking your time to join us on this broadcast. You've heard my monologue. Jump in at any point. Tell us where we are today and what we need to be concerned about. And let's talk about the vaccination that's on the horizon. Is it something that's going to be forced? Is it something that we need to continue to make the decision on? Is it something that is wise? What are the best scientists telling us? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jump in at any of those points and let's talk about it.
Sure. Well, what I can tell you, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor, but I read what scientists are saying, and I read what doctors are saying, and I worked for 35 years as an investigative reporter when that was still an honorable profession. Okay, that's no longer the case today, but it gives me an ability, if you wish, and a training to look at people who are trying to deceive you, I think there is a tremendous, what I would call a COVID orthodoxy in America today, and if you depart from that orthodoxy, you will be banned from Twitter. I was banned from Twitter 3 days ago, so my account has been suspended. If you depart from the orthodoxy, if you question the vaccine, if you question the need for the vaccine, if you question the severity of the disease, you have violated this COVID orthodoxy, and you will be canceled. You will be shut up, and who knows what might happen later. My concern is somebody who has done a lot of international travel for my profession. I was scheduled to go to Tbilisi, Georgia last March, just days before the borders were closed, and was then held, I called it, under involuntary house arrest in France for 5.5 months with my wife. I think it's, I am very worried that the airlines will require the vaccine as a prerequisite for boarding an aircraft, that you won't be able to get on an aircraft in the future without a vaccination booklet or something. And if you're concerned about that, I really urge you all to go to americasfrontlinedoctors.com. It's a website, and they have a petition that they are circulating. It's free to sign it, obviously, where you can say that you are against this mandatory vaccination using what they are calling, and I think they're quite right to call it that, an experimental biological agent. The two vaccines being used right now, Moderna and Pfizer, are based on what's called mRNA. It's a brand new, never used technology. And from what these doctors are saying, it provokes something that is technically called pathogenic priming or antibody-dependent enhancement that could lead to infertility in childbearing age women, women of childbearing age. And that is my real concern. For older people, I don't know whether I'm over 65. I don't know whether I will take the vaccine or not. My wife and I are pretty darn healthy, and you know, we take zinc every day, and I'm trying to get hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic. This is a disease that, even according to the CDC, somebody my age has, if I contracted the disease, I have a 99.95% chance of surviving. 99.95%. For anybody under 65, their survival rate of the disease, again, according to the CDC, is 95.97%. That is pretty darn significant. I mean, those are pretty darn good odds for surviving a disease, Pastor. And to say that this is an extraordinary health crisis and a pandemic is just something that boggles the mind.
It boggles my mind, Ken. And one of the things that I'm finding, and as you know, since Biden was sworn into office, he's changed his direction and his statements about COVID-19. And we have found that CNN has stopped putting their death dirge on the screen and giving you every case by case since Biden was sworn in. The CDC's changed its position on the PCR testing since Biden was sworn in. And I could go on and on. The bottom line is, I'm looking at an article that says the new COVID study shows Dr. Fauci has been telling a giant lie. It goes on to say the American people are still suffering under the relentless tyranny brought on by the Wuhan China virus, but some parts of the country have been locked down for nearly a year. But one new COVID-19 study says that Dr. Fauci has been telling a giant lie the whole time. Coronavirus hysteria has largely been driven by the number of cases proliferating across the country. So, Ken, the bottom line is, and you're familiar with this, I'm sure, what's called the PCR test and the revolutions that the test apparatus has put in, and the more it spins, the higher the possibility is for a false positive. Are you familiar with that? To speak to us on that, and that's what's been driving the numbers.
Well, yes, and that has been driving the numbers, and clearly the mixing together COVID deaths, or people who die actually from COVID and of other causes, what they call comorbidities. The average, my understanding of the 400,000 people, 400,000 deaths attributed to COVID, are 2.6 other causes of death. So, in other words, if you died of a heart attack and were found to have COVID, you're a COVID death. If you died in a car accident and were found to test positive of COVID, that was a COVID death. Hospitals were getting, I think, something like an extra $30,000 per patient admitted for COVID. So there's been a tremendous falsification of the numbers as well. Now, I'm not saying that this is not serious. I'm not saying that you should be worried. You know, you hear stories of younger people in their 40s or their 50s who die suddenly of COVID. Early on, in particular, this was the case because they were not treated correctly in the emergency room. People who had blood clots in their lungs caused by COVID were put on ventilators, and which forced air in and out of them and caused those blood clots to kill people. So people were actually killed by the treatment that they were receiving early on. We know better now. And our frontline docs, the doctors in the emergency rooms, have a very good idea how to treat COVID now. In fact, they're saying unless you're basically dying at home, they tell you don't seek any treatment at all. That's the latest guidance from the CDC. It's pathetic. Again, I really urge people to watch this. There's a video from America's frontline doctors, Simone Gold, where she calls this a crime against humanity for banning the use of simple products like hydroxychloroquine, which has been around for 60 years, to treat malaria. And the reason that it's hydroxychloroquine is an important drug is that that allows, you have to take it with zinc. Zinc is very hard to assimilate in your body, and the hydroxychloroquine reacts with zinc to allow it to penetrate your cells and to kill the disease. That's one of the reasons why in Africa, throughout Africa, which has been plagued by malaria for decades, and where hydroxychloroquine is prevalent, very, very common, it's called the Sunday drug. You take it every Sunday. There are very, very low rates. In fact, the lowest rates of COVID in the world.
Absolutely. Ken, hold on just a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Dan, go over your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Young.
Hello. Yes, Dan, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, there's a greater pandemic than the COVID pandemic, and eventually it will kill this nation from within, and it's sheepalism. Sheepalism is a brain disorder. It attacks the brain. It prevents the victim from seeing, hearing, or believing any truth. And the truth that your guest has presented is absolute truth. But unfortunately, the sheepalism, which is worldwide epidemic, America is going to become an Australia, a Canada. Our freedoms are going to be eroded through this so-called COVID epidemic. It's just a weapon. It's not a virus. It is a weapon to destroy America's liberty, that birthright of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is being stripped from every American-born citizen, one day at a time. And for my life of me, I've never, ever thought I would see, let's see, it was eight years of Clinton, 8 years of Obama, where it was nothing but lies in front of the world. And look at, we're divided, 50% believe it, and 50% do not. That to me is destruction. And I agree
Dan, I believe you're exactly right. Ken, how would you respond to Dan's statement and his considerations as to what's taking place?
Well, he's right, and I thank you for that comment, Dan, and you're 100% right. Look, what this is all about is making people afraid, right? They want us to be afraid. I saw this in Europe. I'm seeing it here in the United States. It's extraordinary the way that they are succeeding. Whenever you hear the words social distancing, you really ought to understand what they mean is social control. They're trying to control the population. And I believed when I was in France at the beginning of COVID, I was surprised to see how the French, who normally are a very feisty people and they do not like authoritarian control from the government, how they behaved exactly as Dan is saying, like sheeple. They gave in. They went along with the restriction. They said, oh, okay, well, we can deal with this. It's not a big deal. Government's going to bail us out. We're not really worried. And yet, in the countryside where I was, there was a subculture, a culture of freedom that still existed. We went out one time. Here's a funny story for you, just how bad it was in France and how bad it can get in this country. When they had the national lockdown, neighbors of ours down in the south of France went out for a walk up in the hillsides, and these cliffs up in literally the middle of nowhere. They were miles away from the nearest house or road. And they were seen by a patrolling helicopter. 15 minutes later, a 4x4 vehicle climbed the mountain to where they were, about 2,000 feet up, and tried to find them. They had to hide in the bushes. They were going to be arrested for being out, six or eight of them, I think they were, in violation of the COVID restrictions. That's how bad it can get. I fear it could get that bad in this country as well.
Absolutely. Dan, thank you so much for your call and for your insight. Ken, I'm looking at an article, and you touched on hydroxychloroquine a moment ago. This article says, as Biden became president, listen to this, the medical journals quietly retracted their study that claimed hydroxychloroquine is ineffective. Their retraction admission validates what President Trump stated in the very beginning of the pandemic. And it goes on to talk about this retraction. So what we're finding is it's proof positive, as Dan had said, and as I have said, and as you have said, we've been lied to, and it's a deceit to control the population by saying that the very thing that's a good prophylactic for and against China Wuhan virus was basically restricted. In fact, as I recall, several states had enacted legislation and or rules that prevented physicians from writing prescriptions for hydroxychloroquine and prevented pharmacists from even filling the prescriptions if they were written. And here we have now that's being retracted. It is another indication of the proof positive that we've been lied to. And as you've said, it's to control the population, just using the term social distancing. I'm looking at an article also, WHO, that's the World Health Organization, modifies the Chinese, the article here is Chinese Communist Party's virus test guidelines, warns against over-reliance on the PCR results. The World Health Organization has cautioned all the medical experts to not rely solely on the results of the PCR test to detect the virus, end quote. And yet, Ken, you and I both know, and I this is what I want our listeners to understand, this, we're watching the retraction and the changing and the modifying of the rules and the regulations, the guidelines from the guys in the white jackets, World Health Organization on down. And that is proof positive that we've been lied to. Are you familiar with and can explain to our listeners something about the PCR test, why it has given so many false positives, and why that ought not to be relied upon, but yet it has been in the past year?
Okay, again, I'm not a scientist, so I can't explain the science of the PCR test, but I can certainly explain the numbers and these false positives where people have no symptoms whatsoever. They are then required to stay home and self-quarantine. Many members of Congress, by the way, have been forced to do this quite publicly. And you hear about this. Oh, yes, I just tested positive and will be going into quarantine, even though I have absolutely no symptoms whatsoever. And I think that's what they're referring to, is this lack of symptoms and yet having a false positive. But, you know, I really want to go back to this notion of fear and how they want to control the population through fear. They also wanted to use that fear for a political purpose.
Yes.
And that political purpose was to change the way that we voted in this last election. Remember, they used COVID as an excuse to say, well, we cannot possibly have people go to vote in person. It's way too dangerous. Our election workers are going to be subjected to the disease inevitably, and we cannot subject those election workers to the disease. So we must allow everybody to mail in vote. And what's ironic about this, Pastor, is that the Democrats had been planning that well before COVID. After they won the House of Representatives in the 2018 election, H.R. 1, introduced in January of 2019, the first bill, in other words, the first bill that the Democrats wanted to pass, would impose universal mail-in voting across the United States. They've reintroduced that same bill this year, now that they have the majority in the House and the Senate and a president who will sign it, to not only impose universal mail-in balloting, but also to forbid voter ID, to forbid the requirement of signatures on the ballots. So in other words, you can just stuff the ballots into envelopes and put them into drop boxes someplace, and they will all be counted with no verification to see if they were cast by a legitimate voter. That's what the Democrats want. That's what COVID has been used for politically. Now, was that the original purpose? I don't know, and I would tend to doubt that. That is, they understood early on in March that they could use COVID and the fear generated by this disease to change the voting system so they would win an election they otherwise had no chance of winning.
Absolutely. And I find it fascinating that Amazon was all for the mail-in ballots. And now that they're in the situation being in the crosshairs of unionization of 6,000 workers in Alabama, all of a sudden they do not want mail-in voting. They say it needs to be in person to secure the integrity of the vote. Ken, hang on just for a moment. We're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after the news as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.
To learn more, visit conservative.edu.